Robot Building Supplies. They've got it and deliver. Robotbuildingsupplies.com.au.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Thanks for joining me. Absolute pleasure to have your company and your calls. 1300 736 736. The open line for Werribee Kia in challenging times. Werribee Kia, they're here for you. Drop in and say hello to the team. They'll all be down there. Janan, Aid, Jim will be down there floating through. So drop in and tell them we sent you. Even the market for a new car down at Werribee Kia. Speaking of great sponsors of this program and people looking after the community, Macca's recognises that those in the healthcare system are working tirelessly to look after each of us and our loved ones at the moment. So to say thanks, Macca's are shouting any healthcare workers a free small McCafe hot drink or medium soft drink until the 17th of May. A couple of your speckled texts before Andrew Russell joins me, Carlton High Performance Manager, about what would be the right number for a legitimate season to get away and what would be the number that wouldn't make it a legitimate season for you. One from Frank, 17 is fair, play everyone once, it will be a fair season. Last year's top five was decided on by the draw, so moving forward an 18-game season would be the best. Definitely minimum 17-game season, and surely remaining 16 rounds can be played each week from July, October, following the finals in November. Why don't we go 17 rounds in 2020 and 24 rounds in 2021 without any marsh games. Dwayne, 17-ish is the number, but players are going to have some type of serious competition this year to maintain their fitness and skills, etc., which isn't a bad point given that I'm about to have a chat to Andrew Russell, Carlton's high performance manager. In fact, he's a three-time premiership winning high performance manager. He was with Port Adelaide when they won their one and only flag, with Hawthorn under Alistair Clarkson for one of their flag years, and or maybe even a couple of flag years. And I think you were back at Essendon in 2000, weren't you, Andrew? Welcome to the program. Firstly, great to have you on the program.
Hey, Dwayne, how are you going? Good to be here. I'm good. I feel like I've been doing it forever.
You were back at Essendon in 2000, weren't you? You were doing some bits and pieces. You just decided to come or move to Port Adelaide, and that's where Alistair Clarkson struck up a relationship with you. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is. Yeah, I worked under John Quinn at the Bombers, and then moved on to Port Adelaide. Had 4 great years at Port Adelaide before the Hawthorn era began.
What was it like working with Clarko all those years? You're now at Carlton, obviously, but the Clarko is always at the cutting edge. He's looking for the next big thing, and he's always looking for the next big thing from his fitness man as well.
Yeah, I know. Look, Clarko and I had a good relationship, and we worked really hard in the early days to set up a really strong culture. It was a culture of humility and respect and hard work. And everyone just worked hard. And it's funny, it's interesting, in those days we didn't have a lot of people, so we relied heavily on each other. And, potentially we may have to go back to fewer people in football departments and, go back to what it was like, maybe 15 years ago.
Is this season, if we do get a 17-round season in and we do start, late July or something, hypothetically, is this going to be a year where the fitness of players plays a bigger role than ever?
Well, it may. It may, because it's a huge challenge for every AFL player right now, what they do, how they use their time away from the game. I think you're going to probably see a lot from AFL playing groups and how competitive they are with themselves, number one, because their biggest competitor right now is themselves and their own mind, and how disciplined can they be, how well can they sleep, how well can they eat, and can they get into a routine of training, most days whilst we've got these huge challenges going on in our world. So it may be that. Obviously, the game is going to be reduced time. So, it's probably 20 to 25 minutes per game less. So probably within the game, it may not test the players as much in terms of fitness. But if we have short breaks between games, if we're having 4 or 5 days in between games, then I think that's when it'll tell out the back of the season. Whenever the season finishes, I think the back end will be it could be a bit of a war of attrition late in the season.
So what do you do now to identify who the self-motivators are at Carlton and who those that aren't are, so you can make sure that those that aren't still come back when you get called back to the club in a condition that you can work with a, what, a three-week window to round one, or round two, as it will be?
Yeah, well, every club knows which players are highly motivated and really don't need us at all, and which players, you know, rely heavily on the staff around them. So, I mean, every club would know who those players are now. We have to keep in constant contact with them, whether that be daily, every 2 days, and you don't want to overdo it as well, or they just get sick of you. But yeah, that's the art of the whole thing, is knowing how often, when, and who are the people that have got influence over them, and who are the people they don't want to listen, you know, they don't want to hear from. That every club's doing that. We're doing that. At the moment, the players can pair up and have a run around together and have a kick together. So it's working on which pairs work well together and all that sort of stuff. But trying to keep connection with your players, as we're all trying to do right now, keep connection with each other across the whole community. It's a hard time for all of us.
Do you think two people should be allowed in the gym at the club, you know, when... Because at the moment you're allowed to, you know, work in twos, and it seems like you've got a really good gym down there of your allocated time, even if two people had 4 o'clock in the morning or 5 in the morning as their time. Would you? Is it strange that we can't do that?
Well, I think, Dwayne, you're right. From a practical point of view, you could actually have two guys going through, you know, every hour, you know, over 12 hours or 14 hours. In terms of, well, is that safe? And is it appropriate? Well, yes, it probably is safe. It would be appropriate given the current government restrictions.
And they're going to work as well. I mean, that's their job. So they're kind of going to work as well.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, they are. But I think that at this point in time, we need to adhere to the government guidelines, and the AFL have been really strong with us. And, you know, I think all the clubs are very respectful of that. It's a different challenge for the players, and how can you do it without all that equipment and all the fancy stuff? There's still plenty you can do to stay strong and stay fit without having to use, all the fancy equipment that we have in the gym. So I think every club would be, you know, completely on board with what the guidelines are right now and appreciate it. It's a very different time, and high performance takes a back seat right now.
So can you go and have a run with one player or not?
Yes. Within the current restrictions, You could go and have a run. It's really, we want people to exercise right now, regardless of whether a high performance athlete or not. It's so important for their physical health and their mental health to be able to exercise. So, I think that's certainly within the guidelines, and we can do that.
And what do you think it is needed as a lead-in to the next round of football? How much work with the players back at the club would you need to do to say that, okay, they're ready to play now and at a safe level where they're not going to ping hamstrings and pull calves?
Well, that's the big question, and it all depends on how disciplined the players are when they're away from the club. If they do the programs that the club set and the program that we set at Carlton, then I think they probably only need 3 weeks. But if they don't do the program, and it's mainly the intensity that players struggle to get out when they're away from the footy club, you know, doing a lot of acceleration, deceleration work, kicking, and really high-intensity running. Some guys, again, are really good at producing that themselves, and other players really need, people around them and need to be constantly watched to get that intensity out. So if the players are pretty good, then I think 3 weeks is enough. If they're not so good, then we're going to need more time.
I know you've got your own ideas on limiting or not limiting interchange. What are your thoughts that should be done for interchange, not just this season if we get 16-minute quarters, but going forward? Do you a cap interchange kind of guy, or do you think unlimited would be better?
I don't think any of us know what makes the game better. I'm the type of person that says, well, you tell us what it is and we'll adapt. We'll change the way we train. We'll change the way we play. We'll do the best we can within the limitations you set for us. So I don't worry too much about what it should be or could be or might be. I just worry about whatever they tell us it is and then get on with it. I think the 90 works fine. I think it probably makes sense to keep it similar because there's going to be lots of changes to the game when we come back. We need some of it to be very, very similar. I'd love to see one or two subs on the bench and the ability to bring those subs into the game to be able to manage the players, especially if we are rotating, and we're playing games every 4 or 5 days or potentially even shorter than that. then managing your playing group, fatigue levels, chronic injuries, acute injuries, is going to be really, it's going to be absolutely critical because we don't want the stars of the game missing, you know, multiple weeks, especially if the season's only, we've got 16 weeks plus finals. We want our stars of our game to be playing the majority of those games if we can. So the ability to be able to manage players, you know, late in games is really important. And, you know, every week we have, you know, you'd have one or two players a week, maybe more sometimes, where you're managing them late in the game and thinking, oh, we're really taking the risk here. We want them to win the game, or we want them to get back into the game, or we're desperate to keep them out there. But in doing so, we risk losing them for one, two, 3 weeks if they push over the edge, both if they've got an acute injury or sometimes, you know, they've got a chronic injury that, you know, their Achilles might have flared up on this one day. And we know that if we push them for an extra 20 minutes, that might mean they have to miss a week or two. So the ability to manage players, you know, in second halves and late in games, I think, and get some flexibility will mean that we'll see more of our better players playing every week. And I think that'd be good for the game.
Talking to Andrew Russell, high-performance manager, formerly of Port Adelaide and Hawthorn, now with the Blues. How many games in the space of, say, 7 or 10 days, how many days rest minimum do you think we need between games? Could you go with back-to-back five-day rest? Would that be manageable if you put three games together with 5 days in between the two gaps?
I think you could. I think the reducing the game time 20 to 25 minutes is a game changer. The players reported back to me, they couldn't believe how much fresher they felt straight after the game. You maybe say, well, we didn't put enough effort in against Richmond, but we finished that game really strongly against Richmond in round one. Our second half was very strong. And you know, the players, both straight after the game, but the next day, felt quite a bit fresher than they normally would playing the extra 20, 25 minutes. So I think the cumulative load really takes its toll on these guys. It's not just the physical load, it's the mental load. Probably the biggest issue playing back-to-back-to-back games is mentally getting up, having to come back down and then get back up again. You know, it's sort of one thing, being an elite athlete, if you've never been an elite athlete, it's hard to appreciate how much mental energy goes into preparing for a performance or an event. You know, and these guys, physically, that's not too bad over a season. Where they really break down is in their minds. Their minds break down first, and a lot of the time their bodies break down second. That is the challenge of this game, is keeping them fresh mentally and doing enough physically in between games that they can keep producing, you know, high levels of effort in finals and during final series.
Is a four-day break too short?
I think they can recover. I mean, if they haven't come out of a game with a specific injury, I think majority of guys can recover in 4 days with reduced game time. Now, if they're playing 4 days, you know, back to back to back, eventually we catch up with them. But if they did that for, you know, if they had two or three games in a row, I think that they could, I think they can handle that. And you know what? It's a bit of an experiment to see what they can handle. None of us really know. And you know, this is a time when to experiment and find out what they can handle.
Do players need the right to water ski and play tennis and play basketball for their own mental freedom, or are you of the ilk that we should be suggesting to players that you limit what you do in this 2 month or 3 month period to the point that you don't risk running an injury?
Yeah, it's a great question. A big part of it is what they've been conditioned to since they've been kids. So I'll give you an example. I went to Port Adelaide over there. A lot of the boys water skied on the weekends, and we had a few of the boys take the young boys up there and some of the old boys up there, and they'd come back Monday morning and we'd have issues left, right and centre for the guys that weren't used to skiing, or the old guys that weren't used to skiing, or the young guys weren't used to skiing. We're having a lot of muscle injuries, yet the guys that have been skiing their whole life, they came back and could train Monday morning and do, you know, high intensity running and have no problems whatsoever. So I'm big on not doing anything that your body's not used to. If you're used to it and you know it and you've been doing it since you're a kid, then I have no issues with players within reason, you know, doing those sort of activities. But, you know, if they can do 3 hours of it, let's be smart, use common sense, maybe go for 20 minutes, 15 minutes, get your little, you know, get your little hit of whatever you enjoy doing physically, but don't overdo it.
Well, Sam Petrovsky-Seaton was a bull rider as a kid, wasn't he?
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah.
But he probably would have been. I think he could probably do anything. He's a pretty smooth mover.
Yeah, but you're not going to let him do that in his spare time, I presume. That's probably a bit too far.
Well, yeah, he hasn't gone home. He might find it hard to find a ball around Melbourne right now.
Exactly. Hey, Charlie Kerner, have you got an update on his knee for every Carlton fan out there who's about to hit the text machine and ask me to ask you?
Yeah, well, Charlie saw the surgeon this morning. As has been reported, he had the wires out of his knee that he had during the first surgery. He had them out about 2 weeks ago. When he had those wires in, and those wires were sticking into his quad, and it meant that he couldn't do a lot of quad strengthening exercises. He's got those out now, and now we can start to get fair income and do some really good quality strength work that he needs to do, because that quad and that leg's wasted away a little bit. As anyone who can't use their leg, or use those muscles in that leg to get some wastage, we can now get cracking into that. He's super highly motivated, Charlie. He's a really hard worker on the track and off the track. He's not going to shy away from the work we need to do, and he's jumping into the work. We don't know when he's going to be ready to play, but we know that there's lots of guys that have significant joint injuries in the AFL over the years, and we know if you give them enough time, respect the injury enough, strengthen it properly, that these guys generally come back and move very, very well and get back to high-level footy. It's extraordinary what these guys can get away with and how well they can play with the injuries that they've had over the years. And I've worked with a lot of players that have had significant joint injuries, injuries that at the time we've been highly concerned about them, whether they get back. And, and you just do things, well, you respect time frames, and you strengthen them correctly, and they come back and they perform well.
I know, I've got to let you go, Andrew. It's great to have a chat to you. High performance manager with the Carlton Football Club, Andrew Russell. Just another quick one. If worst case scenario happens, Andrew, and we don't get a season this year, what's that going to do to players' bodies having no footy for a year?
It'll probably give them an extra year in the game. Look, they'll all stay fit. That's not the issue, but they won't get, the bash and the crash. And, often when a guy has a long-term injury, and in this case you'd say, well, the whole competition's having a long-term injury right now, it often adds a year or two out to the back end of their career because they haven't had to, get up every week and get smashed every week. It's a tough game. It's a physical game. And the other thing is it's not just the physical side of it, it's the mental side of it. These guys, when they have a significant break from the game, they love playing footy. They love the game. As I said before, often when guys wait in their career finish up, it's their mind that goes first and then their body goes second. I'm tipping there's going to be a few highly motivated AFL players around come, 6-8 weeks' time, and then, later this year or going into next year, whenever we play, there's going to be a lot of guys that are going to be, busting to play again.
So you're tipping Sean Burgoyne's going to just keep going. I like it. Even if we don't get a season, he'll end up playing as a 40-year-old.
Yeah, I think he's chasing Tucky down, isn't he? Yeah, I think he'd be very happy with that. I wouldn't put any limits on Sean, knowing him as well as I do. He probably play as long as he wants to play, really.
Great for me to be able to pick your brain, Andrew. You're highly respected. I've always thought you were the best in the business, and I really appreciate the opportunity to have you on my show. So thanks a lot for your time.
Thanks, Dwayne. Good to chat.
Andrew Russell.
See you later.
Carlton High Performance Manager joining us. You heard all that. We'll take your calls after the break. 1300 736 736. 1300 736 736. Anything out of that you'd like to discuss, even if it is the long-term future of some of the older players or the return of the subs vest or limiting interchange. And to all the Carlton fans out there listening, the Carlton Footy Club will be doing a mountain of work this next period to make sure you stay connected with their football club, the football club you love. So stay tuned into the Carlton website, their social media and other media channels. Stay safe, stay at home, and stay connected as a Carlton family. Thanks to Andrew Russell for joining us. Your call's next on Dwayne's World.